business owner.
Whatever your situation is currently is not your forever situation.
That's really what real business owners is, man. Like, we don't care where you come from. Yeah. Where are you going?
Our goal and our job is to reduce the mistakes that you have to make or the money that you have to lose.
You want to be an entrepreneur, you want to be successful, don't give up.
You learn, adjust, and continue to move forward.
Welcome back to the Real Business Owners Podcast. This is episode 92 with myself, Trevor Cowley. As always, OG Kilo G.
That's right. That's right. What's up, everybody?
And we got a triple OG mm-hmm. with us today.
Yeah, buddy.
Old homie's been kind of following the account for quite some time. We've connected over the last, year and a half, something like that. He's up there in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. He runs a company called Ink Labs, kind of graphic design print shop, right, for entrepreneurs or business owners that are looking to get some merch. So everybody, welcome Richard Tilley on the podcast. Dude.
Thank you.
Dude, we're happy to have you. I know that you're happy to be here, but we're happy to have
you
too.
What,
so we're just as excited.
I saw this conversation happen in my mind 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I've already been here.
We've talked about you just from the comments or the DMs, like, oh, hey, man, what this guy's brand, whatever. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, we've talked about you because you've just let yourself be known. And that's like, bro, that's just like a networking 101 that most people don't do. A lot of people are kind of like, oh, man, that'd be nice to go get on their podcast or whatever, right?
Or connect with these guys or whatever. Yeah. Like, people look at somebody from afar and it's like, man, I'd love to connect, but they never shoot their shot.
They don't speak up, man.
Yeah, they don't make their presence felt. Right?
Hey, you shot me down a few times.
Did I?
Like probably four times.
There's a right way to do it. You know?
But see, I've always used those times.
Shot you down with what?
Like,
for instance, on the podcast?
Yeah, like for the very initial, I was sitting in my couch one day. I was about to turn 35.
I love this.
Tell how it is. I don't know.
Dead ass. This is how it happened. I had just threw in the towel on my collection business. I've been doing that for a decade.
Yeah.
Dude, my last year I made $350,000 to nothing. I went from that to like, I'm done with this.
Yeah.
It's killing me. I don't want to do this anymore. So I threw in the towel. So when printing came back to mind, because I used to do it when I was younger, I was like, okay, let me reach out to somebody that I feel that can help me with like figuring this out. Because in collections, like I was telling you, there's no marketing. There was $0 in marketing. We bought all our leads and we collected on them. So I didn't understand this side of business, you know? So I was like, man, let me just reach out to this cat. I heard you guys were in town with Arte.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I'm about to turn 35. I just want some sound advice from somebody who can help me. And you were like, I don't got time right now. And I was like, just give me five minutes, bro. Just give me five. No, it's all good. I was like, just give me 5 minutes. And he was like, I can't. Like, I was like, I'm busy. And I was like, all right, I get it, bro. No big deal. And then I just.
Were you trying to actually link up, though? Or was it
I was going to roll up on you. I was ready.
That's what it was. But again, dude, like I'm telling you right now, in some of those meetups, we're going from like 9 a.m. till 11 o'clock at night. And we have like an hour break from 12 to 1 where we eat together.
Yeah.
Then we're back in the room, absorbing content, listening to
those events look really fun, but there's a lot of work.
There's a lot of work involved, too.
And I completely understood that. Yeah. When you shot me down, I wasn't like, man, fuck this guy. I didn't care about it, you know?
But that's what a lot of people do.
Yeah.
They're like, well, fuck that guy.
You can't take it personal. Like, I mean, if I put myself in his shoes, I don't got time.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's just another thing to juggle, right?
So it's like when we're out there with a purpose.
But I still shot my shot to say, hey, if you got five, let me have it. You know what I mean? And you didn't. So no big deal.
Yeah.
But we ended up communicating through DM still. And then that's what I was like, you were doing calls. You were like posting videos where you were calling people or they were calling you and you were just shooting the shit with them about what they can do. And I was like, what's up? Let's get on the phone. You were like, all right. And so we jumped on the line together.
I ain't too bad of a guy.
It was all good. It was just a surreal moment in that time. And I was like, man, like, I can do this. You know what I mean? Like, if I could reach cats like this, I'm familiar with the energy. I may not be making the same, you know, figures you guys are making, but I'm familiar with the energy. I know what that feels, that frequency.
Yeah.
And I want it in.
Yeah.
So I just stayed with you guys, like stayed following what you guys were doing. And then you guys just kept getting better and better. And the people you were filling yourself with were getting better. And I saw it. And I was like, bro, I want in with these guys. You know what I mean?
Like, we're human just like you. We do the same thing with people that we've looked up to that are at levels that we want to be at. We're all on that, right? We play in these levels till we hit them. Then there's other levels we're going to reach out to them. But there is a right way and a wrong way to do it. Like, you're not annoying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, dude, we've had some people that kind of come at us with some hate, but then they want to talk, or, you know, they just do it in an annoying way. Yeah, right? Yeah. It's like, bro, I don't have time for you when you're coming at me like that. You know, like, you've done it in a way where it's like, bro, I like this guy. The last time Trev said, hey, Richard wants to come out, hop on the podcast, I'm like, oh, I like that guy. Let's do it. You know, like, oh, cool.
That's because
we like you, bro. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just from the DMs and the conversations we have had. You just do it the right way, where it's not annoying, right?
It's been a long time coming.
Cool. It's different perception.
It's like a.
But I think it all happens like a for a
trickle
reason,
charger. You know, just nice little bits and pieces, and then eventually we'll build a relationship.
Yeah.
And then when it's time, we'll go in. Yeah. Here I am. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you even shot me down. I was like, "Yo, shoot me a follow." You were like, "We don't follow just anybody." And I was like, "All right, dog." I was like, "That time, I was like, man, fuck this."
For
guy.
A little while, Trevor wouldn't follow anybody.
Yeah, but
because
yeah.
I did not want, like, you know how many people are like follow. For follow, you know, in the DMs and stuff, and I did not want the account to be about that. I wanted it to be about just giving good information, and it's just a source of something positive for somebody in their life, not that like having to have a whole feed to kind of manage right? Like, if I'm running the account and Kel's in the account, and we've got other like Austin in the account. Then people are like, his friends are gonna be like, hey, what's up? Follow me.
Yeah.
And then his family's gonna be like, what's up? Follow me. And then my friends and family are gonna say, hey, follow me. And then maybe Austin's friends, hey, follow me. And then it's just starting to get super watered down where it's just like, now I've got all this stuff that I don't even wanna see,
mm-hmm.
right? Because I'm not getting on there to just scroll through Instagram.
Yeah.
Right? I'm getting on there with a purpose to try to give good information and then show love back to people. So I was like trying to cut off, like
you don't want
to
see my cousins like boundaries. Lunch photos.
I didn't want to see somebody salad for lunch and shit, right? You know how that goes. Or you know, see other people's kids more than I see my own, right? Mm-hmm. Scrolling through Instagram or whatever. So it was like there's only so much time in a day, and I didn't want a whole feed to try to manage, plus trying to comment back and get into every DM. I wanted it to be very uniform, right? Mm-hmm. And then we got to a point where, like, look, let's just follow people that are in, like, the Arete Syndicate or in Apex Group, people that we're currently networking with so that we can stay in front of them as well and see what they're up to, what they're doing, mm-hmm. and create the relationships with inside of those groups that we wanted to create. So I wanted to minimize the noise.
Yeah,
I didn't want, you know, and I get it.
Understood.
But again, it was just more of a focus thing for me, and that's why that was, right?
Well, what's dope is Janet and Kevin came, Amaral, I think is how you say his last
mm-hmm,
name.
Mm-hmm.
They're in Cali. Shout out to those guys. Awesome people.
Yeah.
They came by the shop because they were in town. I remember it was the next year. I hit you up again because I heard you guys were back in town again. And you were like, oh, it's just the OGs are there. You know, we're not there because of COVID and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
But Jen and Kevin were there, and I had already been talking with them. So I was like, yo, come by the shop. Let's just chop it up. And then I have a gym next door. I was like, just get you in there. You guys can work out, you know.
I totally forgot about that, but I remember seeing the picture with Jen. Yeah, so
they came through, and then that's when you had added me, though.
Yeah.
Because I think that's when you took it a little more serious, you know what I mean? Like, and so it's all good. What it did was just let me know I wasn't at that level yet.
Well, I usually add people when they're on the podcast, too.
Yeah.
So it's like our groups and then people that came out to be on the podcast. You know, and I knew that that was going to happen.
Yeah.
You didn't know maybe yet because I hadn't given you the yes or the okay or the green light, right? But
I like that you play that game, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that.
But at the same time, it shows me who wants it.
Yeah, and that's all those times that you shut me down. I was like, nah, this fool's going to he's going to take me serious. Like, excuse me, but I'm serious.
Yeah,
exactly. Like, I'm here because I'm serious.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And,
exactly.
And I mean it, dude. Yeah. You know what I mean? So
absolutely, bro. We do the same shit.
Yeah, I know you guys do.
You know, we were talking about before we walked in. I'm like, bro, we do the same thing. Like, I want to freaking do business with somebody. Like,
I'm going to be all
hey, man,
in front of
I'll come out there just for the day. Man.
Yeah.
You know?
Because you could have blown me off once. It's not going to be the end of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then unfollow, whatever. Then you're off doing your thing. And then we wouldn't be sitting here today.
Exactly.
And I think people need to realize, you know, the power and persistence. There's a right way to be persistent, though, right? Like, dude, we've got DMs where people are like, hey, what opportunities do you have for me? You know, like, I've got a little bit of money. I want to know where to put it.
Yeah.
What
I got like $5,000.
Like, I owe
right now.
Them, you know, something. Like, I have to give them an opportunity. It's like, I'm already giving you guys everything I've got. on a week-to-week basis on a podcast, and this is shit that most people charge thousands and thousands of dollars for.
Yeah.
We're getting very detailed on what to do with your business. Yep. We could keep it generic and just motivational shit and just fluff you up real quick.
But that's
just,
your guys' separate, you know, giving like, out that better information.
Bro, like, there's nobody giving out the content that we give out at zero cost.
Yes.
Nobody. It doesn't exist on
but
Instagram.
It pays back in dividends. I'm sure you guys have seen.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Return on investment on that for sure.
Look where we're at, right? You know, and it's definitely helped. So let's unpack some shit real quick. Now that you know, he threw me under the bus.
It was just motivation to me, baby.
That's how it should be, right?
Yeah.
Turn rejection into motivation.
Well, you kind of know, though. Like, when you see somebody or you connect some way, whether it's social media, you kind of know, like, oh, dude, like, there's a vibe. Like, oh, I know that we can do some business together. I know we can, like, bring some value to each other in some way. And so, dude, I think it's super awesome that you're here. You're willing to come in just for the day. You're willing to jump on a flight. Like, a lot of people aren't willing to do that, man.
Let's talk about the phone call. About the phone call that we had when I gave you time and we hopped on the phone.
Oh, okay.
You know, let's talk about that. So let's go through the story
real
quick.
This was actually like 6 months back because we were dealing with the election BS. We didn't know what was going on. I was like, look, man, I don't want to be separated from my family, even if for a day, for something crazy to happen. I was like, let's wait till this BS dies down. And you were like,
In terms of the phone call, though, when you or maybe it was just DM. I don't know what it was. I don't remember when you were saying, hey, I'm new to the area, what should I do?
Oh, that.
I don't know. Was that a phone call?
Yeah.
That was a phone call, wasn't it?
Okay, so you were like, I said, what can I do to get my name out there, to get people to do
because
business
this,
with me?
This was his weak point, as he just barely explained, right? Like the marketing side, how do I get in front
of
people?
So you didn't just give up your debt collection business. You moved to a new area, and you're going all in on a whole new business model.
I'll make this a short story.
Go ahead, dude.
With the debt collection stuff, we had offices in Marietta. We had two in Marietta. We had one in Santa Ana. We had one in Corona. And then we had one in Las Vegas.
It was Can't Henderson. Say Corona anymore, bro. Or no.
We had one in COVID.
Yeah, in COVID.
No, we had, but yeah, in Corona right there, we had our office. And then we had an office in Vegas. And I came up here because I was falling apart in California. You know, we had talked about getting all this money and just miserable. And I was just miserable, dude. Like, I didn't understand anything about the internal game. You know, nothing about it. I just knew how to produce money.
At that point, you were just all money.
Everything.
And nothing was, you didn't form any habits in terms of self-improvement yet.
No, the habit, not positive
Not at that
habits.
Point.
Everything was spend, because I came up from humble beginnings, as I'm sure you guys did as well. Yeah. So it was like, yo, if I can get that Bentley, I'm getting it.
Yeah.
And I did. You know what I mean? I did all these things I said I was going to do, but it was just for material success.
Yeah.
It wasn't for anything fulfilling.
Yeah.
And so it ate away at my internal game. And so I ended up getting lost on drugs and alcohol. My wife pulled us out of California. I still had interest in the company, but I was like a distant partner. I would just do stuff remotely.
Yeah.
And then basically like my partner was getting kind of burned out on that too, because he's there in the offices dealing with everything on a day-to-day basis. So basically we kind of phased me out, and he just paid me out month to month for a while until it made sense.
Yeah.
And then he helped me start my next office in Idaho. So I had an office in Idaho going for about a year, but it was like I was holding on to something that was dying. You know what I mean? It was like I knew how to generate money with this, and I was still getting money, but it wasn't the same. You know what I mean? It was in desperation. And so when the time finally came to say, I'm done with this office, I remember I was paying all these dudes like 10 bucks an hour, and they were just wasting my time, dude. They weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing, and it was too much for me to manage as a single person. And I remember one day I was negative 16,000 at the end of the month, and I was like, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
still chasing the old.
Yeah, and I'm hanging on to this thing, man. I was like, it's time to let go, bro. I remember I talked to my homeboy. He was doing this business where he was selling tires at wholesale, and just basically they were mounted and balanced and shipped directly to your door just to bolt on. So it was a unique project. And he's like, hey, I want to start a clothing line from this project. And I was like, dude, I remember how to do clothes. Yeah. So I bought all this stupid equipment on Amazon, like like I spent like that less than $1,000 and I got all this crap and I was
Yeah, I was just gonna say usually the cheap route's the most expensive way to go.
Yeah, long term. I didn't end up even using the equipment.
Yeah,
I was
exactly.
Like, when it came in, I was like, this is dog shit. I can't produce anything with this.
What, you get a couple markers and white shirts so that you can just draw on it?
It would have been better, that's for sure. Yeah. And and so I had a few cars left. I still had the Bentley at the time. I had both of my Escalades and I had a DeVille. I have a 66 DeVille. And it was show car.
Yeah.
I built this thing from the ground up. It was ready to go.
Yeah.
And all these things start dwindling away. I can't pay the payments on this. I got to, you know, voluntarily surrender my car. Like, it was a fucking mess for me, man. And we had one Escalade left and the DeVille. And we sold the DeVille. We put it up on Marketplace, sold it, and then invested in somebody who was going out of business in the screen printing game. They were completely going out of business. They wanted like $15,000 or something for this equipment. I'm a closer. I'm a debt collector. I know how to negotiate. I got them down to like fucking $6,500. You know, pennies on the dollar for the amount of... I literally bought an entire business for about $6,500. Mm. My wife and I just did it, man.
The structure of it anyways, yeah.
Yeah, we bought the equipment, inks, you know, materials, everything we needed.
Yeah.
And then we just started practicing, failing. I don't know how many screens I threw across the shop. You know what I mean? Just frustrated because I couldn't figure it out.
Mm.
And then I just kept at it. And then eventually got better and better and better and better. And now, dude.
Now it's nothing. Do that shit with your eyes closed.
Yeah.
Half asleep.
Yeah.
Half the time you probably are half asleep on 18-hour days.
What's really dope, and this is what was my separator, was that I came from, in Cali, in that industry, in the collection world, You got every other owner trying to steal your staff, all your hitters. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's just dog eat dog.
You're
swimming with sharks. We were the cream of the crop in that environment.
Yeah.
So I had a thick skin, and I knew what it took to get to that level. So I said, let me just apply that same
tenacity,
hustle.
Yeah,
the same intensity to the new project and just go. Just fucking hit the ground running. And that's what we did.
Yeah.
It's the recipe for almost every... startup, right?
Yeah.
You show up every day and you just fail and fail and fail. And then you get good. And then you show up every day and you start succeeding a little bit. And then you just keep showing up every day, succeeding. And then you get great, you know? And, you know, but you hit these phases, you hit these walls, man, where you're like, man, it's not fulfilling anymore, right? And so it's crazy, man. Like, I go through that still to this day, but I'm like, I gotta keep showing up, you know? And then I find fulfillment in things again. But man, that's maybe why we have multiple businesses. That's why we have multiple projects and have a podcast, because we got
to
find those things
that
fulfill
one,
and feed, right?
Got one tuned in all the way before you can diversify into other, you know, projects. But you guys are still at a higher level than a lot of cats, you know, so it's even for them, it's hard to understand what it took for you guys to get where you're at right now. And the backstory of you guys being in sales for so fucking long. And
what people don't understand is it doesn't ever get any easier, because as you, you're getting stronger, but it's almost like the gym, right? Like, let's say, for instance, you can only bench 200 pounds and that feels heavy and hard. But as you continue to go to the gym, your max is going to go up. But it's still your max.
Mm-hmm.
It's still, so now 250 feels like it is at 200. So it's still equal in terms of hard.
Mm-hmm.
You're just now stronger.
Yeah.
So in order to get to those other levels, people think like, man, once I get to 10 million a year or whatever, like it's going to be easy, or I'm going to have all this money coming in. No, it's still very, very, very difficult. And there's still a lot of stress and problems that you're going to have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. It just never, ever totally goes away. It's just part of the process. I mean,
if you stop when it gets easy, then you're stuck.
Yeah,
I'm still benching 135, bro, because I never.
Come on,
but you do. You got to push yourself, you know.
But business just gets harder every single level. But it feels the same throughout the whole process. It's just hard through the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's just your max is a little bit higher now, right? Mm-hmm. So to speak. So. Okay, we've kind of cleared the air in terms of the collection transition. And here's the deal. Here's what was happening with you. Because you didn't find fulfillment, you were trying to buy fulfillment, buy multiple Escalades. Yeah. Subarus. Lamborghinis. Yeah, exactly. But you were trying to buy fulfillment. You know what I mean? So if you don't feel it.
It's all ego.
Yeah, it's all ego. And then you find yourself at a low spot. You're like, okay, I'm going to buy myself this and get that little dopamine hit, right? Like, mm-hmm. I got that Bentley or whatever. But then it fades out. You know, a month or two later, it's just another one of your cars.
It ended up being that
way. And then you have a much larger overhead. And now your stress goes up even more because now you have far more bills. You know, and it just compounds, and then you're going to get to the point where you're just like, you know what, I'm done, right? Yeah. And so that can happen. So it's very important along the way to try to find fulfillment, whether it's, you know, what you're doing or even personal fulfillment through the habits and self-improvement, things like that, to where you have hobbies or things that you do that really fill up your cup. So when you go into work, you have, you know, plenty to empty out on the business, right?
Yeah.
But to circle back, so we got to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. You opened up your print shop. You reached out to us. I dogged you once or twice.
Yeah.
But we ended up getting on the phone call, and you asked me, you know, how do I get known in my area? What should I do?
Yeah.
What was the advice that I gave?
So you said what I would recommend would be to go to companies and just print, let's say, 5Ts, XL, large, medium, small, whatever.
Yeah.
And just, hey, this is what we do. I just did this as a gift for you. Remember me next time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When you're ready to reload, or even you close the deal then and there if you can.
Yeah.
And so what we did was, I didn't do that exactly, but what we did was we helped companies rebrand themselves. So we redid the logos and just kind of showed them, just freebie. Hey, I just facelifted your whole company with just this one image. You know, you guys look completely different, and, you know, just remember me. You know, and I did that because it was, I know you don't understand how the print process works maybe, but there's a lot of cost that it goes and time just to get it on the press.
Mm.
So I was like, how do I take what he gave me and make it work with no money? Well, I could leverage some of my time and just make graphics. So I make dope graphics, sent them off these people, ended up working out.
So
there you go.
So I did the same thing the actual physical garments.
Correct. So here was the concept. This was exactly what I was telling you when we had that conversation, was you need to find a way to give something to them first.
Yeah, you got
to
make an impression.
You have to go, hey, I exist. I'm giving you this, rather than I exist. Hey, I want your business.
Yeah.
So the first time that you introduce yourself, give me your business.
Yeah.
Usually that doesn't work that well, right? So what are we doing right now on a podcast? We're giving information. And then when individuals need accounting, we're going to be top of mind. You're giving them something first before ever asking to receive anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're putting yourself in a position. It's called the law of reciprocity, right? You give, and it then eventually comes full circle.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the concept behind it. It was like, hey, what could he do? He has to give something to these people to where they know that he exists.
Mm-hmm.
And so in my brain, I don't, you know, again, the logos and this, I didn't know what your expertise was and what you could do. And I'm like, well, you got shirts, bro.
Yeah.
Like just make, you know, shirts. Fucking open a phone book and look at logos or whatever. Swoop the logo, put it on a shirt and go give it to them, because some people might have never seen their company name on a t-shirt or their logo on a t-shirt. And when they see it, feel it, and they can take a little more pride in it because it's their company, they might start making those orders, right? And I'm like, if you do that to 10 different companies, you might get two or three to start making orders, right? And then you continue to do that. That could be your marketing expense, right?
Yeah.
So to speak, on a month-to-month basis. But you took that information, you kind of switched it around a little bit, and you did it. And I remember you hitting me up like 3 or 4 months later. You're like, dude, we quadrupled our business in the last like 4 months.
Bro, let me tell you this. The guy I bought the equipment off of had been in business for years.
Mm-hmm.
He said he's the last year I did 50 grand. I was like, bro, what the fuck? Like, you're terrible.
Should be able to.
You're this equipment jinxed. I don't want to buy it.
Yeah. I was like, get a shaman going there and like smoke the place out and get the jinx.
Which, I mean, there's nothing wrong with 50 grand, but it's like, why aren't you pushing past that, right? Like, it's only okay for so long.
After years of being in business, if you haven't gotten past that threshold,
is that as gross or is that just what he was netting off?
He just said I did 50 grand. That's all he told me. I didn't.
So I probably just wasn't in it, man.
Yeah.
What I mean by it's not okay is like somebody's always going to be at that phase for a certain period of time, but you know.
Yeah, you got to grow past it though.
Definitely. Jenny and I, we put our heads down and we grinded in that first year. We did 225,000 total, you know, which from not knowing anything.
That's just in the community too.
Yeah, right? Knowing shit about what I'm doing, because when I did have my clothing line when I was younger, what I did was I printed my own stuff and I would go out to the garment district in L.A., with all my designs, and I'm like, hey, I got these designs. I got small through XL. I'll leave them here with you. When they sell, I'll come back and I'll restock you and I'll get my money. Mm. You know, and I did that door to door through the garment district, and I was like 22, 23. So I didn't understand how to, again, get clients. You know what I mean? That way I was just going door to door and just saying, here, I'll give you my shit. Yeah. And when it sells, I'll pick up my money. And I knew it was going to sell because it was LA inspired designs.
Yeah.
It was gangster shit and they were loving it out there. So at that time it was big. And so we kind of went with the wave at that time and it worked out really well. But I had my shop. I lived there and I had all this rent and I was 20 and I didn't know what the hell I was doing, dude. So when the collection game came, it was easy to transfer because these guys were getting money.
But,
when we came back into it this time, I said, okay, I still want to design my own branded stuff, but what I did wrong last time was I didn't have a stream of money to support what I'm trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
So basically I would have to eat everything I kill that day.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Design, get it out there. And then all the money came in, has to go right back in my bills and all this. And I was like, that's not going to work again. I'm not going to repeat that. So what we did was we said, let's print for other people. Let's create a business that's printing for other people that will supply us the means of what I want to do, you know, and what we want to do is design clothes. So that's why we have this stuff going on finally. So, you know, it was a process and it still is to get us to where we're really trying to be. But with the Ink Lab brand itself, I just want it to just be a machine. You know, I see factory. I see us making our own garments, you know, having our own rolls of coming in and we're making our own cuts and we sell our own shirts and we print them on ourselves. We do everything ourselves and cut all the people out of the way. That's where I see Ink Lab. And then what stems from that is the actual cool branded stuff that we see in the stores and so on and so forth. So that's the vision. This time.
When are you going to roll out your brand?
Well, we had just talked about getting the IG and all that stuff started. And
yeah.
I just connected with this artist who was my artist at that
back
time.
Back in the day.
Yeah. We hadn't talked in
came full circle.
12
yeah.
years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it was like, what's crazy is this guy made my keychains. This guy, Lex, Keychain Collective. He makes little wood keychains and leather keychains. So sick.
Yeah. We
haven't seen those boys. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, I suggest you guys roll with that, by the way. But he was friends with
you know, homie's going to listen to this and be like, hey, bro.
Hey.
You got me, dog. Shout out, bro. Keychain Collection.
No, but, dude, he's such a humble, awesome dude. He's just getting himself started. You know what I mean? He had to take a couple losses. Same thing, man, to just
you
do
have
what
to.
He wants to do. Yeah, he's going through the same shit, know? So I recognize that, and I respect it a lot.
Yeah.
But so he ended up being friends with this guy, Jake. And I saw he had liked one of his pictures or something. I was like, Jake Donnie, why does that sound familiar? And I clicked on it. Doesn't look like the same dude at all. But it was a tattoo page. And I dig in a little bit more. He has a big beard now. And I was like, that's Jake. I was like, what the hell? I was like, I reached out. I was like, what's up, bro? And he's like, what's up, man? I was like, let's design. He's like, all right. And here we go. You know what I mean? It's that easy. Like,
that's badass.
Yeah. Isn't that cool? Dude. Yeah. And he's his whole life has changed too.
Good.
You know, he's on the straight and narrow. He's got the family thing going, kids.
Yeah.
He's awesome, man. Like, we were younger at the time. We were just a mess.
He's got structure now, just like we talked about earlier today.
Yeah. Right? But there's still people that don't, though. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Well.
What drew you to the this industry, man? I mean, you giving up this collection business. Are you just a creative type?
Yeah.
Do you love creating?
And, well, this, I mean, you I was look doing like a creative this originally. Dude, you know? This is originally what I was doing. And collections just came across my path.
It was just a money play.
Right.
100%. Right. So my old roommate, I remember he used to come with those big novelty checks.
Yeah.
30 grand, 18 grand. I'm like, what is this fool doing? I never knew. He just got
like
money.
It looks like he's winning the lotto.
And, like he's always had all this cool shit. And one of our mutual friends was working for him, came to my shop to buy some clothes. And he goes, yo, he wants to talk to you. And I was like, all right, I'll go check him out. What's he doing? He's like, he's doing this and that. And I was like, all right, I'll go over there. So I went down there. He's like, yo, you're never going to want to do anything else again. I guarantee it. And I was like, I'll try it out. You know what I mean? But it was like Boiler Room. You know that movie Boiler Room?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
just gray areas being crossed left and right, but it was just all the end result was get the money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
that's the collections game, bro. Do what you got to do. Get your money. And
I don't know if I'm still within the statute of limitations, so I'll keep quiet on that. Yeah, exactly. You know,
that was
those hard learning lessons, bro. Yeah. Hey, we came up in some spots like that.
Yeah. So. We had to play the game. You know what I mean? And that's how we won.
Yeah.
So creatively, I've that's just always what I've done. I remember I was designing t-shirts when I was like 12, and I didn't even know that's what I was doing it for.
Yeah.
I was just making shirts. Like I was just like designing them on Microsoft Paint.
Yeah.
I was like cutting pieces and putting it together. I was like, hey, that would look a cool shirt. And I would just do that, and I would show all these people, but I never knew how to make a shirt.
Yeah.
And then I got an art class in high school, and we made our first t-shirt. I was a break dancer at the time. So I made these little guys doing breakdance moves.
It was on the shirt. Oh, shit.
Hey. And that was my first t-shirt.
Yeah.
So we might have to see some moves for the YouTube channel, bro. Some breakdance moves.
Yeah, exactly. That's clear out the mics, bro. I see you do a damn turtle shell spin on the
helicopter.
My buddy Craig, my buddy Craig's gym in Coeur d'Alene.
Yeah.
We were messing around with wrestling mats, and I was doing some windmills. And I swear I ruptured my spleen or something. I was like,
you ain't 20 anymore, bro.
The windmills, that's what it is. Windmills, I remember the windmills. I tried to do the breakdance with some buddies back in high school days.
I could do the first, like, two or three hops where you're jumping around. But after that, I had nothing.
I remember doing a head spin, bro. Like, we put a helmet on. We put rags in our head. We go get the Masonite boards. Like, dude, we did all that. Never got good, trust me.
So here's the deal, dude. You know, kind of what I'm seeing here is Richard went to something that, you know, filled his soul a little bit and fed his creative side and, you know, was trying to hustle and do that, maybe just not approaching it the right way at first, and then went to chase the money.
I sold my soul in that situation.
Correct. Right? So you left what you really were liking. You were doing it for free. Just yourself, you know, hey, pretty much, right? Yeah. As a kid, designing stuff, like, this is going to look cool on a shirt, right?
Yeah,
it's like, get you excited, right? Creating the design and wanting to put it on the shirt. That's your creative side, filling that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, sometimes we abandon things that that fill our soul for the money. And you chase the money, you had the money and some cars and, you know, all that stuff. And you realize it's like, that. It's not all that. Unless I have this as well, right? So let's walk away from that. Let's go back to filling up my creative soul, right? Mm-hmm. And so that I just want to share that with people because people kind of need to keep that top of mind. You're going to have different opportunities as you go through business to reroute or whatever, or chase fast money or big money. But imagine if you would have stayed consistent with that, you know, where your business would be today over the last, you know, 15 years of continuing to do it.
What collections taught me, collections was my college in business.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Right?
It taught me fundamentals of business. It taught me leadership. You know what I mean? I was just a punk kid who smoked weed and, you know, I didn't know how to lead a team of 120 people. I didn't know any of that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But over time, like as I leveled up within that business working for somebody else, manager positions, this and that, you know, I started taking on more responsibility, the day-to-day actions. I would tell the owner, get out of here. You make it worse when you're around. You know what I mean? Like, let me handle my shit. And then eventually it became to the point of where it was time for me to own my own spot.
Yeah.
So when that happened, I was able to learn the accounting side, bookkeeping, payroll, dealing with all the vendors. You know, we were using a company called Accurant. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with that, but it's a skip tracing service where you can, they'll tell you all the data on somebody, their phone number, addresses.
Yeah, I've heard of just stuff like that.
Yeah, so I was dealing with all the different vendors, and this was all new to me. I wasn't doing any of this type of stuff before. So once I learned how to be a businessman, you know what I mean? I think that that's what helped me this time around when I came back into the printing world.
Yeah, there's a reason. There's a reason for our past a lot of times.
Yeah.
We went through the same thing, man. Like, you know, we wouldn't be where we're at right now if we didn't go through the phone rooms and learn the sales techniques that we did and have our own teams and learn how to manage. Same exact thing, right? It's given us the ability to lead where we are right now. Now we're trying to develop leaders. It's a whole other level of leadership, right?
Yep.
So, dude, totally get that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Let me ask you this, man, because I believe that bad things happen to everybody. You know, that's just a fact, right? But it's what you do when bad things are happening that's going to determine where you end up, right? You know, there's a lot of things that I could look back in my past that was like, oh, man, that was really shitty. But then 10 years comes and goes, and I'm like, that was actually a good thing. You know, turning a negative into a positive. You know, what's maybe a story that you have where something bad happened that you flipped and turned into a positive? You know, what?
Damn, put me on the spot like that. Well, I mean, just like I said, just in the collection world in itself,
yeah.
Like, I know I present it like that, it was a bad that, thing.
Yeah.
It really was something that molded me and shaped me. It was something that helped me recognize my self-awareness. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't have any of these things before. I was just this thing. You just know what I mean? Just
trying to party, have fun, good time.
Get money, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And
I think that even leading into the drug addiction and alcohol, and what's crazy is both times I got into screen printing were when I was at the end, like at the end of the rope in life. Like when I was in my early 20s, I was a drug addict. I was doing the same shit, man. I was unhappy. And screen printing, my buddy was like, yo, let's start a clothing company. We're not doing anything but being bums right now.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right. And that's what led into the printing in the first place.
Yeah.
And then, so I left it and then went to the collection shit. And then again, I went back to my past, got hung up on drugs and alcohol and the whole shit again. And then here was screen printing again to save my life.
Save the day.
Yeah. And this time I was aware. You know what I mean?
You were old enough. You had a little bit more data. In other words, you know, 10 years of history or 15 years of history where you could get to know yourself a little bit better.
Yeah. Well, I really, honestly, like, I've been sober a little over 2 years now. And although I'm 36 years old now, I'm really only 2 years old.
Right.
Like, really, because when you do drugs now, you ain't growing. You're not, you're a baby. You know what I mean? Like,
I've heard that. I've heard that from the age that you start actually using drugs, that's the age that you are when you quit using drugs.
So, right now, I was 15, so I'm 17, maybe.
You're almost an adult, bro. Congratulations, like
I'm trying. You know what I mean?
Next year, celebrate big 1-8, dude.
Yeah, but that, you know, I use that a lot. You know, that term because my eyes are wide open right now, man.
Yeah.
Like I'm seeing the world in a whole new lens. You know what I mean? And I think that even the drug addictions, it almost was a blessing for me to be so motherfucking grateful for my life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You've seen such lows that you could appreciate the highs.
Yeah.
The reason why I ask that is because I don't think enough people understand that you can turn a low into something positive. Like, for instance, when we got our Easier Accounting Instagram shut down, when we first started trying to do this Instagram game and hiring videographers, we had almost 10,000 followers, and then all of a sudden it was taken from us. And they wouldn't tell us why. They kept saying, see guidelines.
Yeah, that's
you know, shit. And then I had to kind of sit back for a second and say, okay, this is happening for a reason. I just don't know why yet, right? And then that's over a few week period when we didn't even have an Instagram account anymore. That's when the concept of real business owners came up. And I was kind of in a mad panic for a minute, you know, like, holy shit, we've spent money on this account. We've hired videographer. We've got all this stuff. And we finally are starting to get some momentum a little bit up to, it was like 9,800 followers. And then all of a sudden that was taken. And so the wind was out of my sails a little bit. And it's like, shit, dude, I do not want to start over again. But I didn't want to rush and hurry and go get another Easier_Accounting Instagram account and then just rush back into what we were doing. Because I felt as though that there was a reason. It was directing us somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't know where yet. So I had to sit on it for a few weeks to come
up
with the concept.
You were aware of that at the time?
Yes. That's dope. You know, I went through a low point for 3 or 4 days and then I circled back to The Rock. He had a little video that he posted like, hey, me not making it to the NFL was the best thing that ever happened to me, but at that time it crushed my soul. It rerouted me to something better. I just didn't know what it was going to be in that moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I remembered that story when that happened, and I just said, this is trying to reroute us.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know where yet. And so it was a matter of finding how to turn that negative into a positive, which I don't think enough people are doing. They don't figure out how to turn something bad into something good. If something bad happens and kills something that's going on in your life, there's probably a reason for it. You just don't know why yet.
Mm-hmm.
And the why will eventually make itself known, but you can't focus on the negative the whole time because then the why, you're not creating space for the why to enter.
Yeah.
Right? You're so focused on
your mind.
Correct. Yeah. You're defensive and, you know, and so Then when I sat down with Kel, I'm like, hey, maybe we'll call owners and operators or real business owners. And then when he heard that, he's like, dude, is that even available? And I'm like, yeah, dude, I checked it.
It's available.
You know, he's like, if it's available, let's do that one.
Yeah.
And then we did that. And then within a couple months, we had surpassed what the old account was doing because of probably the name.
Yeah.
You know, people don't want to follow an accounting firm, but under a name called Real Business Owners, it's a little more hip, right? You know, people are like, I'm a real business owner. I want to follow this account, right? And so that terrible scenario ended up being the best scenario. Ended up being...
What, you guys are 100,000 now?
Yeah, 91 or something like that. And it took us probably a year or so to get to like 9,800. And it took us like a couple months to get to like 10,000.
Really?
When
I got to pick your brain on that one.
You know? yeah, dude. I'm.
Well, because I remember when I first started talking, you guys were at like 50 or so.
Yeah.
I mean, and then.
Well, it has changed a little bit since then, dude. I mean, it's.
Yeah, the way
it's just getting more expensive, just like Google.
Is it?
And then social media comes out and it's cheaper for clicks, right? You know? But at the end of the day, man, like. We've done an episode on this. I mean, it's basically pay to play, right? But we weren't trying to sell anything. We just want to get eyeballs on our message. The right people will stick around. We've had a lot of people come and go.
Yeah.
The right people stick around.
Yeah.
You know, and so.
They just have to be in the mindset of growth, right?
Right.
You know, and really wanting something better. But sometimes when you're in a low spot and you're watching people try to feed you content about being better, it almost makes you feel worse.
Yeah.
Right. If you're not receptive to it, like fuck these guys or whatever, like, because everything in my life's negative. I don't want to listen to these people trying to tell me how to grow. And because you're just not in growth mode.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you're actually open and receptive to it, and you're in growth mode, you'll absorb that information. So we've had many people 100%. Come and go. So
I have, Andy Frizzella has his email drip that he sends out every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anytime that I'm in a low place, I'm like, man, fuck these emails. Every single time, because I'm like, I don't want to hear it at that
time. Dude, I do that too, bro. I do that too. I get those emails, and then when I'm in a different growth mode, like I'm like absorbing my, ooh, I like the way he said that or whatever. Yeah. And then some days, I don't even want to read that right now.
Yeah, I don't even
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're human, bro.
Because you're not in the right mindset for that, and it's meaningless at that point.
But what's dope is he shows up every day, no matter what.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I guarantee you, somebody that was in a low spot 6 months ago that wasn't reading it, you know, maybe they're doing a little bit better and they're in growth mode. They're reading it while you're not. You know, everyone goes through their ups and downs of life and through their phases, you know. So I'm a firm believer that, you know, everybody, 100% of people are anywhere from 1 to 2 habits away from a completely different life.
100%.
Just 1 or 2 habits. That's it. Okay. People overcomplicate it. People think that they have to. You know, look at the grand big picture right from day one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you reverse engineer it, what were the habits that that individual had in order to get to that point? Quit looking at the end and having that be the be all, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're not going to know how to get there. But let's start tearing it apart a little bit and see what some of the habits were that got that individual where they're at. It could be as simple as, you know, waking up early and exercising is one habit, and gratitude being the next. Those two things right there can change anybody's life. Yeah. So, because now they're going to view life from a completely different lens.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about perspective. If you don't have the right perspective, you're not going to have the right life. That's just the truth. It just is what it is. We don't make the fucking rules.
Yeah.
We got to play by them just like anybody else.
Yep.
But the rules are the rules. And if you want to be in the game, follow the rules.
Mm-hmm.
This is how you become successful, by having these habits in order to get where they're at. And you've got to follow those habits for a long enough period of time for it to ultimately show a result. What are 1 or 2 habits that you've created in your life that you feel like has made you a better person or a completely different person?
That's a great question. That's a great question, man.
I know.
Yeah,
I thought of that one in the shower this morning.
Yeah, good. No, that was really good.
Not saying I'm thinking about it in the shower.
You've already said it, but gratitude was huge. Okay, so I have practices where I'll write down things that I'm grateful for in the morning. I can show you, I have my notebook right out there. It's pages and pages and pages of me.
Would you call it more journaling, or would you call it just more gratitude?
Well, what I do, I read Sean Whalen's book, How to Get Shit Done, or whatever it's called.
Yeah,
he talks about the core four. All right. You got your mind, your body, your balance, your business. All right. So I do that every morning. I do my core four. And that alone is a huge thing, because what you're doing is you're mapping out your day the way you want it to be. So with my body. What do I want to do? Okay, I want to do some back today. I want to do some abs today. I'm going to drink a gallon of water today. I'm going to make sure that I eat clean today. Some days I choose to eat heavy. I want to carb up today. The intention is set. All right. And then with my mind, all right, I'm going to meditate. Today's meditation is going to be visualization. What do I want to see? Where do I want to go? Or if I want to do my meditation on gratitude, you know, I'm getting chills right now just thinking about it. Then I want to read. Then I'll make sure I have the book picked, 10 pages, whatever it may be. And then with my mind, what else? I write down something that I'm grateful for on my actual thing. And then I also have a target of a number that I have set. I want to have $23,819,084 in my bank account by August 19, 2025. I write down every single day. I'm grateful for being one day closer to my goal of that number. And then in my balance, what I do is I want to write a letter to my wife. I want to, with my daughter, you know, she's super into space. Let's do some space shit today. You know what I mean? Let's watch a space documentary. Mm-hmm. My other daughter, she's learning numbers and spelling and all that. Okay, we're going to do some flashcards today. We're going to read a book that has a bunch of four-letter words in it. And then with my business, what is the one thing that's going to move the needle forward with the business today? You know, hey, reaching out to these guys and setting up a podcast, that's probably a good needle mover. So I'm going to do that.
Were we in those?
Yeah, you've definitely been in there. you know, so
honored.
Let's say I want to learn shop organization. That's a part of my business thing. Mm-hmm. That's something that's going to move the business forward by being more organized. What are the processes and systems? So I do that on a daily basis. So everything in my life is being fed. So like the four legs on this table, if one of them was missing, this thing would tip over. Mm. All right. So I just do that to make sure that I'm in within my parameters of fulfillment every single day. So every part of my life that matters is being fed.
I like that, man. In fact, I'm going to take some of that and adopt it. That's what I love about this kind of stuff. Yeah. We get to learn.
I'll show you how I do it. Well.
We get to teach. We get to learn. But, dude, I love that because there's some areas that I know I can always be better. And I have daily habits. I have, you know, rituals that help me get my day going. But I'm like, the stuff you were saying about, like, man, my kid's into space stuff. We're going to do some space stuff today. Yeah. Like, making that core or that part of my habits and setting that intention, super valuable, right?
Yeah.
Because, I mean,
well, you design your day in advance, right? You wake up or you do it the night before. You design tomorrow or you design today early and you just stay on that track.
When you have a plan,
shit's going to come at you left and right, but you have your map that tells you what to continue to do.
Dude, when you have a plan, you're more likely to follow it. Yeah. If you have zero plan, Bing. Then anything can happen, and you're just like, you know what? I'm gonna cut out, or you know, today's just not going. No, you still got this bucket and this bucket that you gotta fill. And
you don't end that day till that shit is done.
So what I would say to that is that gives you far more intent, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that people don't go into any day with any sort of intention. They just go into the Monday or Tuesday, like, let's just show up and kind of see what happens. I'll try to do my best, you know. And when life does throw a curveball at you and you're not at your best, it's easy to walk away. Mm-hmm. But if you have it mapped out and you're like, shit, I can't walk away. I still got X and X to accomplish. Mm-hmm. And you have something holding you accountable. Yeah.
It's like you're powerless, man. Yeah. You know what I mean? But you're designing it to hit all those core areas, which I really like. That's really cool because I've done the power list.
Well, how many times have we been so focused on business and all the other things fall to the wayside?
Exactly.
And then you feel when those things are out of balance, that's like up your ass, you know.
Yeah, that's kids. Like 90% of entrepreneurs, 95% of entrepreneurs. That's
but our families suffer have our with four. Us. They sacrifice with us, right? And so, I mean, that's cool, man. I'm gonna actually adopt some of that. That inspired me because I do this. I do my power list. I set my intentions in all these areas, and a lot of times it's just to get shit done at work, to get home to the family. But I didn't write anything down that I'm gonna do for my power list at home, right? Yep. So, dude, I like that.
Yeah, so I'll even write down. I'm gonna play tag with Penelope today. You know what I mean? And we'll go play tag that night. Hide and go seek, whatever. You know,
like. Yeah.
So that's dope. So to answer the question, I mean, that changes a lot of habits, but it's the one habit that serves all categories of fulfillment.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'll even put on there, like, you know, I text you, like, yo, have a good day, man. Fucking, I appreciate you.
Yeah.
I wrote that down that day to text Trevor and tell him thank you. You know what I mean? Like, I write that down on purpose because I feel gratitude towards you for what you're fucking doing.
Yeah.
And I want you to know that. You know what I mean? And it fills that bank account up with you and me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Builds equity.
Yeah, big time.
You know, that's really what it comes down to. So what are some of the other habits that you have now, and how long have you had some of these habits? When did it finally click where it's just like, man, I need to be in growth mode. I need to be in self-improvement mode, because, you know, we were talking about the collection agency and it didn't sound like that you were in growth mode. Uh-huh. Individually, you were in financial growth mode and realized that, well, if I'm not whole as a person, no matter how much money I have, there's still multimillionaires that go commit suicide. The money's not the end all be all. You know, you have to have a good perspective on life so that the money has value to you, right?
100%.
And so when, like, why and when did this transition happen? Like, what was the moment, or was it a slow moment? You know, like,
no, it wasn't. I tried to take my life, the day that I became sober. That was like my I was done. I was like, I'm going in tonight. This is it. It was December 31st, 2018. And I remember I texted my mom and Callie. I was like, I'm drained spiritually. I'm a shitty father. I'm a shitty human. I'm no good to anybody around me. I can't seem to fucking figure it out. I'm done.
And I got to highlight something real quick. I got to highlight that. What he did was have an honest fucking conversation with himself, and he didn't lie. Too many people, when they want to make a change, they give themselves a little too much credit in some areas where then at that point they don't feel like that they need to change.
Mm-hmm.
Change happens when you're actually real with yourself.
When,
like,
you get
tired of your own shit. Exactly. Ugh. And then when you're real with yourself, then you could be real with other people. Like, I'm this, 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 and this.
What do they call it? Personal inventory, I think.
Correct.
Is like the term.
Yeah, correct. Take personal inventory every day. Ask yourself specific questions.
But I didn't know that's what it was at the time.
You just hit such a low spot that you started asking yourself questions.
Yeah, like, look, my wife had kicked me out. I was living in my apartment by myself. Like, I was just in there doing fucking drugs and alcohol. Yeah. Like, there was nothing good
just
happening.
Empty.
The soul of me was gone.
Yeah.
And I remember I checked. That was the day I checked out. And somehow I woke up the next day. I don't know how. After what I did, I don't know how I woke up the next day, but I did. And that's why, I feel like that version of me died in that night. You know what I mean? Because when I woke up the next day, I had locked myself in my room for like 3 days. And I just didn't come out. I was like, what are we doing? What is this shit?
Yeah.
Like, why can't we get a grip on ourselves?
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, having the conversation with myself. And then my daughter was born on that fourth day, January 3rd, she was born. And I just committed, like, I can't, I already have two daughters that saw
the old you.
Yeah. I got a fresh start. I could raise this girl and my other ones, you know, they get the benefits of it too, but she doesn't have to see any of this. She doesn't have to know any of this. She just know a good life. And, you know, my wife, you know, by the grace of God, let me back in the house and we started over.
And probably a lot of begging. Yeah. God, please get to her heart and soften this shit, because she's hard on me right now.
But there was an interview that I heard, a Joe Rogan interview. Him and Travis Barker were talking, and Travis Barker was talking about when he stopped doing drugs and just started being a normal person. Yeah. And he said, I just turned a corner in my mind, and that part of me was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And just hearing that phrase, and I pictured me turning a corner in my mind and going another direction.
Yeah.
I put it in a literal sense, and then I just stuck to that. I gripped onto that saying, and I was like, I turned this corner. There is no other options anymore. This is where we're going now.
I shut the
door. I've actually heard Trevor have that talk. Exactly. Shut the door talk, man. And it was with some of my loved ones that struggle with drugs. I've never been a drug addict. I've had my own addictions that I got to points I couldn't tolerate and had to make shifts and changes. But drugs are a different thing, right? And I've seen it really hold on to people, and they have these phrases they use, like, well, I'm an addict. I can only take one day at a time. And Trevor's like, that's fucking bullshit. Yeah. You're not closing the door, bro. Like, you're leaving that door open just a crack. And I was like, damn, that's the truth right there.
Yeah.
And that needed to be heard by that person.
Yeah. What I struggle with the most with the one day at a time thing, or, hi, my name's I'm an addict. Like, I am an addictive person. Now, I could be addicted to fitness, self-improvement, becoming financially free, or I can turn that addiction to something negative.
I don't really care who you are. You're an addict.
Well, I feel like we've had this conversation before, talking about the exact same thing.
Yes.
It's like a system that keeps you low. so that you have to feel that you're this way. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You have to feel like I'm an addict. I can't control unless I'm here with these people. And anytime I ever went to those meetings, I left worse.
Right. Yeah.
I was like, I remember telling.
And I'm not. And I don't want anybody that's listening.
Yeah. I'm sorry if I seem insensitive.
It's all good. Look, that wasn't for me. I'm not a believer in it. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that it doesn't work for some.
Yeah.
Right. If that's what you say, like, same.
But it doesn't give you the opportunity to grow. I just didn't like talking about the same shit over and over.
Like, you were talking about, oh, I got to the drugs. Like, I wanted to make that my past. And I didn't want to relive that every single week over and over and over. Like, I wanted to create new identities for myself. Yeah. You know, I'm this, and this. I'm not just an addict. Yeah. Like, that's who I was.
Yeah.
At some point, you got to make a choice to be something new, right? Like, you can't sit there and show up every day.
I would go in there and I would tell them, like, look, this is what worked for me. When I learned discipline,
yes.
When I learned to control my fucking actions,
yeah.
Everything changed for me.
Yeah.
And I said, discipline. Everybody in this room, discipline. They were like, oh, well, I'm a Marine and I have all the discipline in the world and I'm still. I'm like, nah, man.
Yeah.
You're full of shit.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't buy it because I know what human potential is, and I don't think people are giving themselves enough credit in terms of how much control they have. And you know, I'm a firm believer that legit, once you actually make that decision and turn the corner, so to speak, in your mind, and it just, again, it's just a part of the past. Once I came down off of the mountain, I went up to a mountain in a trailer and got clean. I purposely wanted to be very present in the moment of pain.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wanted that to be what my mind associated using drugs. I wanted it to
100%.
Go like how you associate things and tie things together is what matters the most.
Yeah.
Right. And so if you've used drugs and you got clean for a period of time and you keep relapsing, you keep kind of going back because the only thing that you're doing is remembering hanging out with the homies or doing this, maybe some of the fun times that you did have. But if you ever got clean and had to go through real physical pain, shaking and, you know, all going through, I seared that memory in my mind. And when I came off that mountain, I said, I will never put myself through that again, ever. Boom. And I made that promise and that commitment to myself that that's what drugs is.
Yeah.
And then that's when it changed. And then I associate negative feelings
to those things.
Correct.
So even when you were talking about bourbon and we were talking about the one shot place or whatever it's called out here, the bar.
Yeah.
My stomach was turning the whole time we were having that conversation because I didn't want to hear about alcohol.
Yeah.
Right. Because it's so fucking disgusting to me.
Yeah.
And it's the reality. I've attached that you've so associated much negativity it. To it.
Correct.
That it literally changes my physiology when you talk about it.
And that's what people need to do is they need to start associating the proper things to the proper things. And I even tell Bob when we work out, when we would walk out the front door, I would say, how do you feel? Because you never walk out the gym saying, I feel like shit. Now, too many people associate going to the gym with that 5 or 10 minutes of being exhausted or tired in the morning where they got to peel themselves out of bed. And that's what they associate waking up early and going to the gym as. And that's only 5 or 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have an awesome hour and a half. And then you walk out that door and you feel that crisp, cool air of the morning. And you already feel like that you've accomplished something. Why don't we put the weight on that feeling so that when we wake up in the morning that we're going to start associating it with feeling great?
Yes.
And so that's the whole purpose, is how you're tying it all together.
Yeah.
I don't care if I have to be tired for 10 minutes in the morning. I don't give a shit. I want that feeling when I walk out of the gym. That's what I associate the gym with, right?
Yeah.
And so, again, how you tie things to certain things, that matters, and it helps you ultimately follow through on the things that you said that you were going to do. But you have to find the things that are positive with the things that you're doing, even if it's not fun or even if it's not something that you want to do. There's going to be a moment in there where you feel good or feel better about yourself for following through with it. Sit in that moment for a minute. Start associating that with that moment, not the terrible things that you have to go through to get to that moment, right?
For sure.
And that's really when things can start clicking and really start changing for you.
Those days, those 10 minutes becomes smaller and smaller. Like yeah. right now, I open my eyes and I stand up and I go.
Yeah.
I'm ready to fucking go.
Yeah, some days I like pop up without even the alarm and it's just like, yeah. I'm ready to go for the day. You know some days, not all days, but.
You have a natural alarm clock. I dare you guys to try this and anybody else watching this. I saw somebody do it. Remember the guy I told you set the water video with the, you know, speaking affirmations to your water?
Yeah. Okay.
He has another video where he's like, you have a you can set your own natural alarm clock. You picture in your mind, let's say 4 a.m. You picture 4 a.m.
Before you go to bed?
Before you go to bed. And I did this. Before you go to bed, you picture it. You picture yourself waking up, the whole situation. And I woke up at 4 a.m. on the fucking dot the next morning.
That's pretty cool.
On the dot. I didn't set my alarm on purpose.
I don't remember the last time I have set my alarm.
I set it just in case, like, there's one night where I'm exhausted. A
specific time or just, like, dude, in between this time?
Sometimes it's 5:30, sometimes it's 6:30, you know? But
yeah, so I'm every day, even this morning, I went to bed at 1, I was up at 4.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I up at 4 yeah. every single day.
You That's know, just no the internal clock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So over time period of doing it, compounding your effort of doing that, eventually just becomes
a fabric of who you are. Did you start waking up early?
I've never really been someone who liked a lot of sleep. I don't...
So your choice of drugs was meth?
No. No.
Well, usually that's the case. If somebody doesn't like sleep,
the more
they like
the version of that.
Oh, coke. Yeah. There you go. Okay, so it was still an upper.
I just never wanted to be a tweaker.
Okay, I was everything. Anything that you could put in a spoon and a needle, I would put it in my system. Right. Yeah, so that's just the truth because I was, you know, flat out just at a spot where I was trying to escape. If X wasn't there, heroin, right? I would try this. That,
like, anything, yeah.
Anything that you have.
I do the same thing. I would.
Because you were a person that wanted to escape, right? Yeah. And that was the same concept. But usually when somebody's like, hey, I've never been a big sleeper, I know that individual, if they've had a drug addict. I've
always
been restless.
Like, I always feel like I have something to do. You know what I mean?
I always liked the downers. I didn't ever like the uppers.
Not my thing. I mean, I did the.
But I love my sleep. I love my sleep. So
but see, with sleep, the way I look at it, and even in my bed, I've talked about this before, but my bed is like a recharge station, like your iPod dock.
Yeah, yeah.
Boom, plug it in for a few hours. Okay, I got. All right, I'm at 80% or 100%. Whatever. Let's go.
Sometimes it's 30, and you gotta morning, pick the phone up and go.
This morning I was. Really low. I was, you know, I didn't get any, and I woke up at 3:45 the day before. I actually woke up earlier than I anticipated because I was excited to get on this plane and get out of here. Shout out to you guys.
Yeah.
But I touched down and I just couldn't sleep. And then finally I forced myself to sleep at 1 o'clock, maybe just because I wasn't home. And you know,
yeah, it's all odd. Unfamiliar. Yeah, my a lot wife going
missing
on.
Your kids or not. And, you know, it was off. And when 4 o'clock came, I was a little groggy and I was just like, I got shit to do. Let's go.
Yeah.
So stand up and go. And I jumped in the shower and I was fine.
Yeah. The difference is there's people that honor the commitments no matter how they feel. And then there's people that honor the commitments when they're motivated.
Well, yeah.
Everybody gets motivated.
What was the shit they said? Honor based off of commitment, not emotion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's what it is. Too many people are making decisions based upon how they feel rather than what they want to accomplish, right? Yeah. Habits, creating those habits. And as you're creating habits, there's going to be plenty of moments that you don't feel like doing it. Mm-hmm. And then eventually you'll get to a point where you look forward to it, right? Like, I can't wait to get up at 4 and go hit the gym or, you know, go through my routine, right? Because now I find peace and solitude in that, right? Mm-hmm. But at first you don't, you know, it's like the worst, you know, for the first month or two as you're creating new habits. And I think that's why people have a tough time creating new habits is because they just don't give it enough time because then they lean back on their emotions and they just don't feel like doing it.
Yeah.
And it's just that one moment that turns into 2 days, 3 days, 5 days, well, see, and then they fall off.
What I've learned about keeping my promises to myself, and I try to help other people that are do it on a lower level.
You know,
I'm able to keep my real promises to myself. I mean, if I say I'm going to do some shit, it gets done.
Yeah.
And for other people, like, how do you do that? And I say, well, start off small. Say I'm going to go to the gym 2 days in a row this week.
Yep.
Just get those, or I'm going to eat clean. Instead of saying, I'm going to do a 14-day clean cycle, you're going to make it 3 fucking days and you're going to fail, period. Yep. So make it 24 hours. If you can do it 24 hours, okay. 48 hours.
Extend it.
Yeah, and then next time around, do it 72 hours. Eventually, it becomes easier and easier and easier. You know what I mean? Instead of going for the gusto.
Yeah, that's that. When working out with Bob, some people are like, well, did you have him do this? And I'm like, no.
I told them just to eat the exact same way that he eats. Mm-hmm. I said, I just wanted to create one new habit at a time.
Yeah.
And the one new habit was exercising every single morning at a specific time. That was the main focus. And once mm-hmm. that becomes normal and familiar,
introduce the
next thing that's yep. unfamiliar.
Mm-hmm.
All it takes is one new habit. And then once it's an actual habit that you're used to doing, then again, enter something else that's unfamiliar, that's a new positive habit that you stack on top of that. So you're only really defeating one habit at a time, because the other ones, it's already cemented in. That's just what you do, right? And so that's how you do it, right? And it's not like we've always been the way that we are now, right? It just started with one good decision that led to a second good decision, and then a third, and then a fourth. And then eventually, once you have a little bit of history and you see like, holy shit, when I do these things, I'm really making progress. Then you start getting hungry for more things that you could do.
Mm.
What's weird and new and different that other people aren't doing that I can do that will challenge me, mm-hmm. right? And I know that you're very similar. You're, you know, in terms of you and the crew go out to the lake or whatever, do your ice shit or whatever it is. The cold
I was actually
water.
Hoping we could do that while I was down here. But
I know you said something like that, and I'm like, damn, just fly in and fly out real quick.
Yeah,
bro.
Just get the hell out of here.
You know, like, I'm just kidding. I ain't got time for that. I ain't got 5 minutes. You know, I
turned the lake is cold funny. Here. It's not as cold as your lake.
Yeah.
I used to go out wakeboarding when I was a kid this time of year. Like,
yeah.
We couldn't wait to get wakeboarding. We'd go in freaking January, February. Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And the lake was fucking
ice.
Cold, dude. But it's not like what you guys are.
Yeah, his is actual ice. Ours just feels like ice.
It's just, I don't know, man. It's what that does is it. I do it once a week. So once a week, I'm in full motherfucking control of the worst situation I could put myself into.
Yeah.
What could be worse than that for the rest of the week? I got this. I recharged. I did something just a lot of people won't even try. I've even the toughest guys around me. I'm like, yo, come with me. And they're like. I got I'm this good. Thing. I got a vacuum.
Yeah.
Like,
I got a vacuum. You know, I promise my lady I was going to vacuum.
You got to get Sunday, bro. You ain't got shit going. Bed, Bath, and Beyond. Home
Depot. Yeah, like, I got all this stuff. Yeah, so, but it's their fear more than anything. But it's Richard, you're in control here. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you got this, bro. Let's get in this fucking water. Let's stay the time, if not more. Yeah. And let's get out. And let's know that we did this shit together and we were in control. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And there it is. And what could stop me beyond that? You know what I mean? So
keep doing that, brother, because that really is the biggest separator, right? Is everybody creates these habits, but they're short term. I mean, at some point they stop or they continue to evolve and add to them like we've talked about. But that's the biggest separator, man. The guys that continue to do these things that work for them a longer periods of time. Because it's really easy after a year of doing your ice day. You know, each week, it's really easy after a year or so to be like, man, I'm going to do something different or whatever, or let just things get in the way.
Well, look at Wim Hof. Look what he's doing.
I know, man. Yeah, he's like the guru of it, right?
You can see money
in
the ice.
He's been doing it the longest, right? And he's been getting most results from
extreme.
It. He does. It takes extremes. But yeah, keep doing that shit, dude.
Yeah, for sure. Let me ask you guys something. I'm going to interview you guys now. I'm just kidding. All right,
send it. Open book, bro.
Tell me what important role your wives have played into your success personally, and you talk about spiritually and professionally. You know, what roles, because mine saved everything for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was the only reason I am still here right now, 100%. She fought for me when I was.
Yeah. Likewise, dude. My wife is amazing in terms of, you know, how she handles finances and how she handles money. When we first met, it was like I was a sales guy, right? And so I was just like, oh, I made $3,000 this week. Okay, bills are, I'm gonna take $500 and pay whatever bills this week are there. I got $2,500. Call the homies, let's go to the bar, let's party, whatever. And I'd blow that money because I knew that there would be another check. And I was making way more than her when we first met, but she had way more money than me. She was making her whatever, 12, 13, 14 an hour or whatever. I met her because Kel hired her. She was our secretary. So I saw her eyeballing, bro. So I was like, I'm going in. But no, for real. I mean, even when we first got into our first townhouse, you know, it was only $750 a month. It was just a piece of shit. And I had terrible credit because I was literally had just barely been clean for like a year.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I was still putting my life back together, still owed $30,000 in back taxes and, you know, all this other stuff. Right. And I tried to get this townhouse and I couldn't. And I'm like, well, what if I pay like 3 months up front? It was just 6 month lease. And they're like, no,
Really?
And I didn't have the money to pay the full. I had like $2,000 or $3,000 in the bank because I would just blow my money, right? And she had like $15,000 in the bank, you know, and she was making an hourly wage and I was making large commission checks. So that's just one, a lesson for individuals. It doesn't matter how much you make. It matters how much you keep. Like, mm-hmm. you don't have to make a lot of money over a period of time. If you're smart about it, you can chip away and save $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 a year. In 3 or 4 years, you're going to have $15,000, $20,000 in the bank or whatever it is. And she was great with that. And I will say that I would not be where I'm at financially because I would still be probably in the headspace of, you know, I would have the Bentleys. I would have this and that. And I would have rushed into the mansion or, you know, large house, so to speak, right when I could.
Yeah.
Because that's just the way I was, is if I had the money to do it, I'm just going to do it. Yeah. And I didn't have the foresight of 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, right? I was just living for the moment, for the now, right? Yeah. You know, I wanted everybody to see me flex, right? You know, like, hey, look at me type shit. And that's just was my mentality. And she changed that for me.
Right.
Right. So, that's when I took a huge step backwards and started eating a little bit more humble pie. And she does a great job of keeping me humble.
That's dope.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, I can get, you know, big on myself here and there or whatever. And Kel's seen her, you know.
Remind you.
Oh, yeah. You know, talk shit to me. Right. You know, like
she's I'm a
like,
long term thinker. Trent wasn't a long term thinker. Yeah. He is now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. You know what
I mean? And like, so a lot
maybe
of
she helped you
I
with that.
No, without a doubt.
Yeah,
I would not be where I'm at without her coming in and changing my, like, some of my internal beliefs and the way that I think and view money and, you know, all of that. So
she helped mature.
Oh yeah. Without a doubt. Sure, yeah. Without a doubt.
That's cool.
I'd still be fucking.
Yeah.
Making it rain, you know, probably, you know,
and check to check.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Paycheck to paycheck, but large checks to large checks, but I'd have a lot of cool shit.
Yeah.
I would look like I'm worth $100 million, but I was be worth zero with a lot of debt. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I owe her a lot of credit for that and for the fact that she got us in our first townhouse. Shout out to you. You know what I'm saying?
What about you?
Dude, so my wife, two people love her, but she loves people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She is just genuine. She doesn't prejudge people. She's just one of those people, man. She's got a good, pure heart like that. She'll talk a little shit to Trevor too, right? And me.
Little.
But at the end of the day,
it from both ends when those two are hanging out.
Yeah. But she's just a good person. Like, we're sitting at breakfast, you know, and I had a little bit higher ego back then, you know, and I don't know why, you know, I was trying to flex back then because I was trying to date her and impress her, but and we'd been together for a minute, but we were at a restaurant and you know, we took our kids that morning because she had kids and she had a kid and I had my own kids when we met, and we're at breakfast and they made a mess and I'm trying to get the hell out of the restaurant so I can go back to work or start my day because it was actually breakfast, and so I'm like, don't clean that up, we don't got time for that, we got to get out of here, right? Like, I'm like, that's job security, right? Like, that's literally something I said. And she's like, I don't expect people to clean up after me. Just because they're our waitress doesn't mean we just expect them to clean up our shit. Like, when we make this extra mess, like, you know, that's not who we are as people, right? And I remember her saying it like that. That's not who we are. And I was like, damn. And I thought about that. And I still remember that to this day because I'm like, man, like, I've got to treat people better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't just treat people like they're there to serve me just because I'm going to give them a tip or just because that's their job, right? Like, I'm responsible
you had an ego
for
like
my
that,
own
huh?
shit. Huh?
You had an ego like that?
No, yeah, for sure. Were you? Yeah, I've gone through a lot of phases.
Wow. You know? Honestly, you seem so humble. I couldn't imagine.
Yeah, she's a big part of that. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, she genuinely gives people chances, man. She owns a hair salon here in town. And sometimes people come in and I'll be like, I don't know. I don't got the best feeling about that one. She's like, I think that she deserves another chance. I think she's been through some stuff.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And she's ready to change who she is, right?
Yeah.
So she'll give people chances, and you know, I've adopted a lot of that from her.
That's cool.
You know, so there's a lot of cool shit like that about her. There's many good things, dude. I adore her and who she is. But that's one thing I think
still
that's
try
made
to
a big impact
her?
On me. Oh, for sure, dude.
Yeah.
That's why I take her to some of these things. Like, dude, if my wife's gonna like, I like taking my wife on things for several reasons. One, she doesn't think people are better than her. She doesn't think she's better than people. So, like, I might put people on a pedestal. Like, I told her on this last retreat, I'm like, she knows. I've already been talking about Pastor Keith Kraft. And I've been reading his books. And I'm like, you know, there's some things I want to learn from him because that's an area I want to grow in my life. And she just go up and walk up and talk to him when I'm kind of like, oh, man, I'm going to wait for my time to go talk to Pete Keith in a little bit because everybody there want to talk to him. He's a stud. He's that guy, everybody wants to talk to him. I'm like, I'll wait. You know, I'll wait for the right time. And she just go over and talk to him. Like, dude, that's awesome. She just liked that, right? But if I'm speaking or at an event or something, like, I like bringing her because I'm like, dude, my wife's in the crowd. Like, I want to impress her more than anybody else, right?
100%.
And so, yeah, she is definitely that person.
I could relate with you in the same way, man. And same with you. You know, my financial structure, I had an accountant before. So the money came in.
Yeah.
She gave me a book at the end of the month every month, the pie chart that told me where the money was going. And we were good. You know what I mean? But my wife's like, all right, we need these accounts for this and this and taxes. And like, she breaks all that shit down to a science.
And so valuable.
Sometimes we're just like money, build, grow, and then like they're like, hey, hold up.
Yeah.
What about this, you know? And like, let's calm down. Let's focus on the right things, you know? Yeah.
That's not my wife, but that's your business wife.
No, we're for Jenny. I mean, we're business partners. Yeah. So, you know, she should be sitting right here. Yeah. She should have another microphone. Her mom just had back surgery yesterday. And she couldn't come with me, so she had to stay with the kids.
Yeah, we would have welcomed her, too.
Dude, sure. Such an awesome chick.
We do have another mic.
Yeah, but her story is fucking way crazier than mine, man. So maybe sometime you guys talk to her. But I have to attribute a lot of my love that I have now from her because I didn't know how to love.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know how to love. I just, everything, things were just things.
Yeah.
You know, right. Nothing was like, had any like sincere meaning. And even I would take things for granted, even with like my kids, you know, like I wouldn't be as present in the moment. It's just like you take them, they're just going to be there and, you're just going to keep doing what you're doing and they're just going to follow along anyway. Like it wasn't like getting to know my kids or getting to know my wife as a human and what excites them.
She's helping keep things into perspective.
Yeah, dude, she does a lot of that for me. And she, like I said, man, she fought hard for me to come off of drugs. Like, I owe my whole life and sobriety to that female, dude. And I think it's awesome. And, you know, when we did this business idea, it was just something I did. She didn't know anything, fucking nothing about screen printing. She didn't even know how a shirt was made. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she
knew where to buy them, but didn't know how they were made.
We went in together with nothing and we figured it out. You know what I mean? And we get up every morning. You know, we were talking about habits in the morning. I get up with her. We have a cup of coffee, and we do 250 reps of abs every single morning.
Oh, sweet.
Every single morning. That's why I was mando that we did them today. You know what I mean? I was like, hey, we got to do some abs today.
Oh, we do.
Because I didn't do it when I
first woke up. 5-10 minutes after every workout.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I was feeling off because I hadn't done them yet.
Oh, core is so important.
Yeah.
But she's down with what – she is what I'm doing. You know what I mean? Like, we are one – unit.
So valuable.
So she's personal growing. I'm growing.
Your dream might have been to build this awesome new brand, right? And she's like, cool, I'll jump in on your dream because her dream is to build this awesome family that does shit together, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't know for sure because I don't know
to build
you guys.
A compound.
But
we
like, you guys are building
compound,
a dream together. And that's really cool.
And I think I think maybe 5 business partners in my time, and she has been the only one that's like, I overlooked her. Every year, every business opportunity that I took that I was doing this and that, I overlooked her every single fucking time. And this time, I didn't realize my best business partner was sitting right there with me. You know what I mean? So
that's huge, bro.
That's powerful, yeah.
That's a bomb right there.
Yeah. Shout out to all the ladies holding it down for their men. If you're listening, you obviously can tell how powerful of an influence women can have in a man's life.
Yeah. I know that we talk a lot of you guys, well, you guys talk a lot of business on here, but there's elements that you guys haven't even tapped into that are important.
Oh, very, very much so. Very much so. But I want any women that's listening to know that they have the power of influence far more than what they even give themselves credit for, whether it's good or bad.
Yeah.
You can influence guys to do negative things or positive things.
Mm-hmm.
And without somebody solid in your life, again, I was lost without somebody solid in my life, right? It's just like the lighthouse that just kind of keeps you centered, so to speak. So shout out to all the women out there that's holding it down for the men and making them better because we're all talking about how we got better based upon our partner, right?
Yeah.
And so let me ask you this, man. Where do people connect with you? You know, I know that they're going to love the podcast. They're going to dig everything.
It's a great episode.
It was an amazing episode, without a doubt. You showed up, bro.
Yeah, so, I always do.
Yeah,
that's I know the one you thing do. You'll find out about me over
I know
time.
You do.
I always show up.
That's why I said send it.
Yeah. So Instagram, InkLab, SPS. And just to clear the air, it's InkLab.
Ink.
Lab.
Dude, I'm not going to lie for a little while.
What did I say? What did we always say? InkLab.
So because of the tag, it's InkLab SPS, which is Screen Print Studio. But people just take it as InkLabs. Like, what is InkLab's PS?
I literally thought you were a tattoo artist for a long time. Like, yeah. I thought you had a tattoo shop.
I thought so too.
Everybody does.
Yeah. I thought so too for a second.
Yeah.
Because he's all tatted up and it says like InkLabs. And like,
I guess there's no coincidences, but it's a coincidence.
It actually is a great name, dude. I don't know why. You have tattoos too.
Kind of work hand in hand. I get that a lot because our Escalade has a huge, I don't know if you've seen it, has a huge InkLab on both sides. We have our Thrasher logo. Shout out Thrasher, thank you. We have our huge Thrasher InkLab logo, and it's blasted on both sides, bro. And I love it, man. And I get rolled up on, hey, you do tattoos? I want to book an appointment. I'm like, I haven't touched a tattoo machine in like 20 years.
What you
ought
to do is you need to find a tattoo artist that is good, that wants some work. So anytime somebody hits you up, you're like, nah, I gotta do it though.
Yeah.
You're like, what are you charging right now? $100 an hour? Charge $150. Kick 50 this way, dog. I'll get you lined up.
There's some artists that follow us.
Yeah.
They have such awesome work, and I've been wanting to reach out to them. Like, let me just turn that tattoo into a shirt, bro.
Yeah.
That'd be insane.
I think more tattoo artists should do that.
Tattoo artists, hit me up.
Yeah. Like, I think that they should use some of their, I mean, because it's so unique and so different, and they're spending so much time creating the concept, but yet it's just only on one person. That should be seen by more than just the individuals that know that one person or in passing. It should be on. I've seen plenty of tattoos that I'm like, oh, that's badass, right? Yeah. Like, they just come up with cool-ass designs that could look great on a T-shirt, right? Like, this could be a cool tattoo, right? The T-shirt that you made. But anyways, guys, make sure that you hit Richard up. He's just a badass all around.
Thank you.
Good man. Great business owner. He'll go ahead and he'll take care of you. You know, if you want to reach out,
designer,
if you want to reach out to him for merch, cool.
Just merch, like everything, right?
Yeah,
even just people that I help out, like that I don't talk about right now in this moment that I'm helping them change their lives around. I do that quietly. You know, I don't promote that, but I think that being a beacon of light is extremely important to other people, more than business, more than anything else, man, because business is self-fulfilling. But like when you're helping other people, man, and I feel like is like you see, you said something about lighthouse a second ago.
That's like exactly what it is. Well, if you're the light, everybody's going to come towards you.
Yeah. Well, when you illuminate, you actually spread light to others. They could see now where they wouldn't be able to see before. Mm-hmm. You know, you become this beacon of light that glows, and from that glow, they could see that. They could see in the dark a little bit, like, yo, I can do this, you know what I mean? And I think that when the light continues to spread, then every time I help somebody, I tell them, pay it fucking forward.
Yeah.
What I'm doing for you now, when you're right, do it for somebody else.
Absolutely.
And you may fail one or two people, but don't give up. Keep finding someone until you find the person that wants to
change. Just being of service, right? Yeah. And when you're trying to serve other people, good things happen.
Well, that's exactly really what you guys are doing though with this podcast. Is you're spreading light to people who are in dark in business. You know what I mean? They see you guys, you know, doing your thing. You guys got all this shit going on. Like, people want a piece of that, but they don't. You guys shed light for them to see that it's possible. You know what I mean? So
appreciate kudos that.
That's why we talk about backgrounds. That's why we say, hey, this is the situation. Like, we're no different than anybody else, but
you actually got me with an advertisement is what it was initially. That's what first made me follow you. You guys were talking some shit about, it was saying something like people living, like if you make $100,000, you spend $100,000.
Oh yeah.
Something along those lines.
That was one of our first
videos. That was me.
Yeah.
I was like, that was me 100%. Follow.
Yeah.
And then I was like, let me talk to these guys, man. Yeah. Like, that's where it started. Yeah. Was that you guys are running an ad.
Yep.
That's how I saw it.
Yep. That's what we haven't done that for a while, but that's how we grew it.
I'm glad we found you through that app,
bro. Yeah,
I know. It's a pleasure to not just chop it up with you, but get to know you over this time.
Yeah.
In the DMs, now here in person. It's cool, bro. I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you guys seriously for having me.
Yeah.
It's so awesome.
It was a pleasure. Our pleasure, for sure. So, guys, we know you got value out of today's episode. Make sure that you, take 1 or 2 minutes, just drop a quick review, subscribe to YouTube if that's your thing, and share this shit with people that, we just talked about being the light. We just talked about being the light. Like, be the light for somebody else, because I know for a fact all it is one piece of information away from
boom, that snap where something changes for that individual. And, you know, I think that we have enough episodes where somebody can find that spark.
You guys got gold. You know, you so. Guys are fucking sitting on a gold mine.
Sitting on.
You guys sell that catalog. You know what I mean? Like, dude.
Hey,
you guys,
anyways.
You guys go yeah. hook up with Richard, too.
Yeah,
though,
hook
man.
Up with he Richard.
Is,
check him out.
He is a light.
Thank you.
Ink Lab SPS. I got it.
Bing. Yep.
Yep. Okay, cool.
That's everything. For, yep. Universally, I made it so it's everything.
Yep. So, have Morris code. Ink Lab. He'll pop out of nowhere.
Hello. He's
hello. Hey. But, I'm here to serve. What can I do? Anyways, y'all have a kick-ass day. Take care.
Yep.
Peace out.